Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Here I am back in January of last year. I just couldn't keep the weight off no matter how many different exercise programs I tried. Now I'm down to my ideal weight, and it's never been easier. All I had to do was vote blue, no matter who. Every time I went to the grocery store, I was with so many different options to choose from. But now... now I'm lucky if I can even fill my basket up. I used to be really unhealthy, never got that much exercise. But now that I can't afford to put gas in my car, I have to walk to work. And as an added bonus, I don't have to worry about being carjacked anymore. So you can ditch Tybo and start saying Ty Joe.
Come on, man.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, TGIM, everyone. Another broadcasting week has started for us here on the Proof Negative show. I am not alone tonight. I will have Leslie joining us here in just a second. And if you want to be a part of the show tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1, and we will take your call. So, Leslie, welcome in. I don't have the clap button available because I'm uploading a clip right now.
That is okay. Yay. I'm so glad to be here.
All right. Well, you sound much better than you did an hour and a half ago.
Well, yeah. Still didn't nap. But you know what? Life goes on.
Okay. I thought you took your nap.
I'll do my very best. Oh, thank you. I laid down and closed my eyes for 5 minutes and couldn't get settled. So just 5 minutes. But
you know, it's
maybe
funny.
It'll work.
Sometimes when we're on the road and we're driving and I'll say I'm going to take a nap and I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up and the same song is on the radio and I feel like I just took a half hour nap.
Yeah, I'm really, really hoping today is, I'm just hoping I can stay alert today.
Okay.
So I may get up, do a few jumping jacks, you know, whatever. It's been an interesting week.
Yeah, so anything you want to talk about, or do we want to get into news right away? Well, usually we have time for small talk for a few minutes.
Well, we do. This could go in so many directions.
Well, I did not vote yet, so the local place near me does their early voting starting tomorrow, and there were places that I could have voted at over the weekend, but I didn't drive to any of them. So it'll be an honor and a privilege to vote against Shitzak.
You know, I think that's really exciting. I'm really pumped up for this election, too. And this is where I know I'm in Crazyville, because I'm in Texas. Forget it. I'm not in Crazyville. I'm just home. So we've got this woman running against Clay Jenkins, the Dallas County judge, who not the biggest fan, right? Her name's Lauren Davis. And, when she gets elected, because I want to say when, not if, but she would actually, we would get to have Dr. Peter McCullough as a medical advisor for our county. Is that just exciting or what?
That no gene therapy mandates are going to pass through.
Exactly. And, I got to give this man a whole lot of props for what he's done. We have a district attorney in Dallas, I'm not sure I can pronounce his last name. Let me look up the spelling.
Cameron, I'm working right now.
Our district attorney here, he believes in, like, when people are arrested for non-violent alcohol, drug offenses, he thinks maybe it's best to send them to rehab instead of jail. Hey, you know what? I agree. because jail does no one any good unless they're in there for something really, really, really awful. I think, you're using drugs or, you know, something, and maybe you'd be better off in rehab and start your life over. He's in that. I think that's a big deal. Having the experience of both, I can tell you that going to a facility for a little bit of time is more insightful and is more geared towards healing. Anyway, he's just a really John Cruzo. I hope I didn't butcher his last name, but I really think he's doing a good job in Dallas County. So, you know, I'm going to be voting for Republican, Democrat. And I guess somewhere in the middle, there I am. But, you know, we don't have any of the radical left over here.
Well, my thing is that if you love the Democrat Party, you'll show some tough love this year and not vote for them because you want to force them to make better candidates. Just voting for Robert Francis O'Rourke because he's a Democrat is not going to get you anywhere. One, he's definitely not going to win. And two, if you have really low turnout for votes on your party, it's going to show that candidate was a complete joke, and we need more of a better candidate. Because if Robert Francis O'Rourke gets 18% of the vote as opposed to 42, that shows a big difference. Say 42, if Abbott wins 45-42, then they could play the I had voter fraud card. And you don't want that. You want them to be beaten so bad that they never try again.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of Robert Francis O'Rourke, did you see the newest Babylon Bee Californian move to Texas? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to send that to you. It is hilarious.
Wait, I think I might have. Where they're California is trying to get Robert Francis to move to California so they can vote him in as governor.
And it has Ted Cruz in it. Oh my gosh, that one hit way too funny. That one, the Ted Cruz. Oh my goodness, that one was hilarious. So yeah.
So do you have early voting out there, and did you take part already?
I don't know if we have early voting. I'm just going to go vote on regular election day. I'm going to drive around with my voter ID, which I keep in my backpack. And I'm just going to go on with my life. I'm just going to pull up at some random church or school or something and vote.
Okay, and I hope that that's a Tuesday, so I'm hoping we can get a few people to call in and just talk about what was going on during their area in the election.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I think I'll make a post about that. I may need to write down a reminder for myself. If I can find a pen. I know I have one. I really can't hack it with digital notes. I'm terrible at digital notes. Okay, yeah. I wrote it down.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of Joanne Moretti, too, and see if she'll call in.
Oh.
She normally calls in during election night.
I love her. She is really, really a fireball. I like her a lot. home.
Yeah, I'll get a hold of her. I meant to call her over the weekend, since she said a few days ago her internet is back up, so I was going to bother her when she was ready.
You know what I did? You know,
no.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live, the Delicious Dish?
No.
Where the two, oh my goodness. It's these two women, and they have an NPR show called The Delicious Dish. And
who
they
are the
wear,
actresses?
Molly Shannon was one of them, and let me see. My memory is drawing a blank, but.
So this is a decade ago, or maybe in the late 2000s.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So it was, what is her name? It was hilarious. It was Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer. So
right.
I actually went into our local charity thrift store for the battered women's shelter. I went in there and I bought a absolutely terrific sweater vest like they wear on the Delicious Dish, and I thought that would be pretty awesome. I may have to have some photos taken in that fabulous sweater vest. So,
hey, if you ever think of me, I'm always on the hunt for some Major League Sports franchise shirts.
I look when I go to thrift stores.
No big deal. I just would like to have a Rangers or a Dallas Stars shirt at some point. I don't need Cowboys.
No, Cowboys stuff is like a prized possession. You would think they were selling legal marijuana or something. I mean, man, the Cowboys fans. Wow. They're something.
Yeah. They're something.
Ooh. Yeah, they're something. But, you know, there's a lot of passion.
Or like what the wiretap says, that there is something Ducker for real.
Yeah, it's just passion. I mean, it's America's team. And I love Thanksgiving in Dallas. Or actually now that, Laura Davis, who is absolutely one of the worst mayors in Dallas, in the history of mayors, Dallas had the Cowboys had the opportunity to play in a stadium in Dallas, Texas, which is where they belong, naturally. That's where the Mavericks are, where the Stars are. No, the mayor says she would not approve a 1 cent per dollar tax hike. And I'm thinking, lady, you just blew it for everybody in service industry. And so Arlington has the Cowboys. But I really love Thanksgiving weekend because it's so vibrant. And everybody, there's so many people in the area, and it's just, there's a lot of merriment and joy and festivities because people have flown in from out of town just to see the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I've heard so many stories about people talking about how this is something they've always wanted to do. And I think we Texans just, we Dallasites just take it for granted.
I am hoping so much that if the NFL expands again, that they look at Dallas getting a second franchise, because in the last 10 years, they've had over 1.2 million people move there.
Yeah.
That fan base is, that's whole cities for some teams, 1.2 million. So just think their major city just dropped in that metropolis.
Oh, it is. You know what? And I'm right here in downtown. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I live in this apartment I'm in. This community is young. Like, everybody is 30 or younger, except for a few people. And we all know each other because we have, like, 70s names. Like, they're a Michelle or a Melanie or an Amanda. And I'm like, oh, I know you. I see you, Gen Z. Look at you. Yeah, you know, we've got a few here. But everybody here is like 30 or younger, and they're so
amazing. I won't fit in. I'm old.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I thought. But these kids are freaking awesome. They are really cool. A lot of them work from home. And, you know, there's a coffee machine on the third floor. And I was just up there getting some chai tea. And it sometimes there's just a bunch of different residents, and they're kind of hanging out. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's, you know, these people, they're young. They talk about what they're doing with their lives, their, you know, their jobs, their plans. It is so refreshing.
But you know what, though? That you never hear in Texas, man, this is just too conservative. I need to get out of here and move to San Francisco.
Well, kind of you do. And you know what? They go. They leave. They
really?
Head up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I've got this philosophy about Texas. You don't choose Texas. Texas chooses you. And it's really interesting because there are people that have been born here, and the minute they can head out, they will head out. They head for California or somewhere else, Oregon or whatever. And, you know, you just bless their hearts and wish them luck with the move. And
it's like the Amish. I guess they get old enough to go see what liberalism is like.
Yeah. You know, it's you know, and sometimes they get crazy woke while they're there. And then the next thing I know, they're studying, like, something insane and talking about something that makes no sense. And, yeah, kind of done with it. But they move on. You know, they obviously Texas did not choose them.
Hmm.
But for people that enjoy earning a steady paycheck, hey, Texas. You know, San Antonio's blowing up. Well, not going to use that phrase. San Antonio is growing massively. The Houston area is a little bonkers. DFW, oh my gosh, it's expansion is going all the way up to the Red River, up by where I was from, where I was born. So yeah, yay, Texas.
But yeah, well, that's just hard to believe because people are not exactly moving in droves. You, if you move from California to Texas, the price for the U-Haul has gone up like over 1,000%. And
yeah,
if you're going the other way, it is so cheap to rent a U-Haul from Texas to California because California needs those U-Hauls back. It's almost like they will pay you to drive it back.
Right. It's crazy the way things are going there. I have a friend of mine that
someone
saved,
said
like,
they rented a U-Haul to go from San Antonio to San Diego, and it cost them $200.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine that drove all the way to Arizona to get his U-Haul. And, yeah. Got his U-Haul and saved quite a bit of money. Came out here. It's yeah, you know, we've got a lot of medical refugees here, but you know, we've also have people that have come here because, you know, say Toyota moved to Plano, and
are you close to Plano?
Depends on the time of day. Right now, I'm rushing.
Well, it could be miles. It doesn't have to be time-wise.
But we measure things in time here. I don't know. I know that without traffic, like right now, if I were to drive to Plano and there's not construction going on, which may or may not happen, or there's not an accident, it might take me 30, 35 minutes. But if I leave here at 5 o'clock because I'm in downtown, it'll take me 30 minutes just to get outside of downtown. It would take me a good hour and a half to get to Plano. So just depends. Yeah, we
so how big has Plano grown over the years?
Plano is, let me look this up, because I know it's had a big growth.
Because that job I was telling you about, that was in Flower Branch, I think, or Flower Mound.
Flower Mound.
They moved their office to Plano.
Oh, okay. You know, Toyota's in Plano. I would imagine they went to the newly developed part of Plano, or the older part. It's, let's see. Let me see. Here we go. Plano is a pretty wealthy city. The public school system is really good. Let's see. Well, okay. This is a 2016 stat. It's part of the Metroplex. And the thing is, you know, if you get a job, let's say you get a job in Plano, and, you know, when you want to move out here, people think, oh, you know, it's only 20 miles to get there. Well, it may take you an hour and a half to make those 20 miles.
No, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. You know,
don't forget, I've seen L.A. traffic. I understand.
Oh, yeah. You know, Plano has right around 300,000 people.
Okay, that's a decent size.
Yeah, and that is the size. That's half as many people as Alaska, give or take. You know, McKinney, a little north, is nearly 200,000. And I remember when McKinney was just a little sleepy town on the way from Dallas to Denison. Yeah, it's big. And Frisco, my goodness, I lived there when it was less than 100,000 people. And it's edging upwards to 200,000. But, wow, yeah. All the DFW, there is 13 counties, and you know, if you include Grayson, that's another county. But it's going crazy. It's really, really growing. Well, that's one way to wake me up is to get me on a good Texas rant. It's like the Texan just pops in. So did you decide, I guess you decided against that job?
Yeah, I'm not leaving unless I'm forced to here, and we'll know in a couple weeks, I guess, which direction Nevada's going.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if you come out, here and decide to like it, you know, the people are friendly. It depends. If you're in a bigger city, they're not as hospitable, but they're also likely not native. But the natives here are really friendly.
Oh, I'm not denying that.
Yeah, everybody. Well, I mean, the natives are pretty nice. It's just a culture thing.
So, as far as news goes here, we can do, we can get into news first, or if we want to play Broccoli Man and then go into news, I don't really care, but I want to move ahead here.
Yeah, let's go over news.
All right.
Yeah.
So, the one big thing I want to discuss here, and I've been waiting a few days to talk about this here, is Alex Jones now has a $2.75 trillion lawsuit from the people that got $1 billion from him, allegedly, which is a frivolous lawsuit in itself, and they're going way, way overboard here. They are countering with everybody in Connecticut, I think, is entitled to a certain, or everybody that had parents of kids that were in Sandy Hook are entitled to $500 million each because he sells vitamin supplements that bring in $60 million a year, even though that's gross and not net. And so they feel that they're entitled to $2.75 trillion, which Alex Jones could easily pay.
You know what?
There is no person on this planet that owns $2.75 trillion. I don't care if it's Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, or all three of them people combined. $2.75 trillion is exactly the gross domestic product of France and is more than what all of Canada makes in a year.
Wow.
So do they feel Alex Jones makes more than the whole nation of France?
Obviously they do. And this is in Connecticut. Oh my gosh.
My opinion, they were very lucky to get that billion. And it's going to come back with a retrial anyway, because the way that courtroom was set up, you can't be the judge and say, look, I've already decided this guy is guilty. You guys just get me a dollar figure.
Right.
And you tell the guy he's not allowed to defend himself. His attorney's not really allowed to talk.
Yeah, not that's to a show miscarriage of justice.
There's buzzwords like they're playing the game Taboo, or they're not allowed to say a certain word.
That's a miscarriage of justice. Anytime freedom of speech is suppressed, you cannot have true justice.
Right.
You absolutely, it is. Yeah.
And
that's
for something that, just saying that, I believe there's issues with this particular thing in the news, and George Floyd's parents already said they're going to use the Alex Jones case as a reason to sue Kanye West for $250 million. So they are suing him because he said that the coroner put on the death notice, the death certificate, that he died from fentanyl poisoning. And because Kanye said that, and that offended George Floyd's parents, that they feel they could sue him for $250 million, even though it's true.
That is insane.
So now, if you're insanely... it doesn't have to be insanely. You could just be an ambulance chaser looking to see if somebody says something that offends you and then sue to some crazy amount that you think you might get. And then raise that by 200%.
Okay. That works.
So I don't know where all this money is going to come from. Do these alleged, air quote, victims in the Alex Jones case really think that they are getting $500 million-plus each?
I think it's something easily sensationalized in the media, and it keeps people distracting from what's really going on.
So I have Tim Pool here on his radio show that I wanted to share what he said about this.
Okay.
So let's play that here. It's about 15 minutes, right, though, but I'm playing it.
All right, here's a story from Bloomberg. Sandy Hook families seek $2.75 trillion from Alex Jones. Jury already awarded families $965 million in damages. Judge to decide damages under state deceptive trade law. Oh, this is fascinating. So basically they're seeking what? Just about 3,000 times what they were awarded from the jury? $2.75 trillion. Let's put that into context. Here is a list of countries by GDP. You can see here U.S. dollars in the trillions. France, 2.77. Canada, 2.2. So, Alex Jones's lawsuit falls somewhere in between Canada and France in terms of gross domestic product. That's how stupid we have become as a people. I'm ashamed because, look, I'm worried the aliens are watching us, and boy, is this embarrassing if they are. You know, there was a story we talked about the other day that claimed Putin had already tried to fire a nuke, but that sabotage or technical issues caused it not to fire. And I'm like, well, the only solution to that, the only answer as to why this happening is aliens. You know, as soon as you press the button, the aliens deactivate it. Well, yeah, that's the conspiracy theory, right? That aliens stopped us from firing nukes. I'm just saying, the whole world, everything that humanity is, we are becoming a clown show. That's how stupid this is. So
I think we can take this back. You know, we can end this easily. Going back to late 1700s, Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Now, back in those days, that only applied to Congress, right? But after the Civil War, we passed this thing called the 14th Amendment. It says the states now shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. So all of the privileges and immunities of free speech that were guaranteed in the Constitution applied to people like Alex Jones. There's modern jurisprudence as well that backs this up. The Supreme Court case that you're going to want to look to reference this is Brandenburg versus Ohio. This was back in the 1960s, which says that if there's a matter of public interest or an event of public interest, if you have an opinion about that event, that is free speech. So this Connecticut judge has essentially invalidated jurisprudence, which has been repeatedly upheld since the 1960s. This Brandenburg case has been tried and tested and has been settled case law. So Alex Jones, I think, goes to the Supreme Court and wins. I don't think it gets tossed out on appeal. I think it goes to the Supreme Court, and I think that they look at the Brandenburg case, and then they throw this out entirely.
Let me read this from the story. It says, the family said they're entitled to that amount, $2.75 trillion, because Jones broke a state law barring the sale of products using false statements. They reached the sum by multiplying the state law's $5,000 per violation fine by the 550 million social media exposures Jones' audience received on his Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter accounts in the 3 years following the San Diego incident. Literally makes no sense.
The judge made a huge mistake.
Yeah, but in this regard, Alex Jones did not do maybe I'm wrong, okay? But I'm pretty sure he didn't do commercials where he held up his product and was like, I just want to talk about, a tragic event. Buy my product. And also, that event was not real. Like, I'm pretty sure his commercials were entirely separate statements. Mm-hmm. It would be like if, we have BioTrust sponsors the show, as if they would be liable because I make a claim about Joe Biden on the show and that's selling the product. That's nonsense. The law is supposed to be, if I said something like, this water keeps tigers away, $100, Ian, you want to buy it?
Well,
I don't see any tigers, do you?
That's clearly,
right? That's what they're trying to go for.
Opinions are always protected free speech, and that's Alex Jones' opinion that happened. And so as long as it was a clearly stated opinion about a public event, he's protected. So he's never going to have to pay this money. I mean, obviously, you guys were talking about it getting thrown out on appeal, but I think that this goes through the legislative process, goes to the Supreme Court, they cite Brandenburg, and then it gets tossed out. But, you know, the left is celebrating this now as if they're going to go after all of these other people like you
Kanye.
And me and Kanye and others and stuff. I don't think that happens, not with the Supreme Court the way that it sits right now.
Yep. When he made a statement and named one of the parents and said that they were lying, that is crosses the line, is no longer opinion. Is that true?
No. No. So here's the crazy thing. If I said something like Ian Crossland is a conservative commentator who actively assists fascists, and I've seen him do it. That's an opinion. If I said I've watched Ian Crossland walk up to a group of fascists and provide aid and support to them, that's an opinion. Because what people need to understand is that I've talked with lawyers so many times about defamation and stuff like this. People seem to think that claiming someone did something is a statement of fact when it's not.
But what about if I said Ian Crossland said he was 43 years old and he is lying?
So the statement of fact is that you said you were 43 years old. Did you?
Yes.
Okay. Whether you're lying or not is my opinion. Whether you said you were 43 is fact. So if I said, for instance, a conservative commentator, Ian Crossland, said that if we get rid of no-fault divorce, young folks would be more careful about who they marry. Did you really say that? Because I made a statement of fact and a quote. Like Jezebel. So for those that are familiar, this is literally what Jezebel did to Ian. This is a false statement of fact outright, and it is actionable. The next question is damages. Were you damaged by it? How much does it cost? Well, we had one user tell us the other day they were going to give us $1,000 a month for 84 years, but then they found out Ian was conservative, so they're not going to. So we'll have to look into that.
Sue for $2.75 trillion?
That's right, $2.75 trillion.
All the marks of people that have watched the show ever and thought of me in their head now multiplied by, come on.
I mean, so the issue with this is that Alex Jones never had a trial.
Yeah.
That's what happened. If he did, they would have been like, it's an opinion, albeit you might think it's a really stupid one, but it is.
The judge granted discovery, which makes no sense. I mean, she should have immediately ruled it as a free speech issue, but, you know, she's obviously stepped into this on a political side.
A lot of people think, and I agree, Alex should not have said stuff like this. It's clearly ridiculous, but he's allowed to. You know, Ethan Klein got suspended from YouTube the other day for the comments he made about Ben Shapiro getting gassed. We said it on the show that night. He should not get suspended. That was before he did. Mm-hmm. And then I said it again. He got suspended. He shouldn't be. He should be allowed to say that. Someone super chatted already that, like, I'm criticizing Kanye West for saying, you know, well, I don't know if we're supposed to say it on the show because someone said the R word or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I said Kanye shouldn't. I didn't say he should be banned from doing it.
Right. But what about the defamation case? Now, in your opinion, what should somebody not be able to say? Like, when they can prove damages by what someone said, when they're not a public figure, right?
Well, so I understand the public figure thing, and it's tough, right? If we're looking at someone who is a politician or a celebrity and they're active in public life, and we have an argument with them, I understand why we have the Times v. Sullivan precedent that there's a higher standard for public figures. For people who aren't public figures, who aren't involved in this stuff, I understand why the standard isn't there. So it is difficult. My view of this is, like, what really should have happened is that they sue Alex Jones and said, you've made false statements about this. Alex Jones pays in the thousands and has to issue an apology, a retraction. I think one big solution for a lot of these things is a retraction and apology, but the courts don't ever enforce that.
But he's in Chapter 11 right now.
Alex already did issue a lot of apologies.
No,
but
I know.
But YouTube deleted all those videos, and there's no record of it.
Right.
There's not a lot of records that he could comply with, and this is one of the reasons why, of course, they just threw out the court case, and he didn't have his day in court. They just decided he was guilty, said he wasn't complying. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. We don't know the full story of exactly what was happening behind the scenes here. But I don't know, maybe these families confused Alex Jones with the Federal Reserve and think he could just print money out of thin air. And it's just a ridiculous notion to ask for trillions of dollars. It shows you how frivolous this is and how it's politically
exactly.
motivated rather than motivated on the actual merits of this case.
Yeah, I think there's a strong possibility it goes to the Supreme Court. They might just say they don't want to hear it, but I think they probably would because this is kind of ridiculous. So here's my understanding. I was we went down to Austin, I think it was a year ago. And this was when Jones was right on time he was held in default, or they declared a default judgment because he didn't turn over all the documents. Alex, I was talking to him, and he said, we've given them every single thing we have. There's nothing else we can give them. And he was, like, frantically and adamant, being like, Tim, listen, I gave them literally everything. I don't know what else to do. And they just kept saying he didn't.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you do when they just claim you didn't give them the documents, and you did?
Well, he's in Chapter 11, which means that in Texas he's still going to be able to operate. He's got, like, less than $3 million in assets. They don't have to liquidate. He can still keep his employees. He can still operationally. But that what they've promised is all the future profits from InfoWars.
Which there never will be.
That. Right, right.
Yeah, let me explain something to anybody who just doesn't understand how businesses work. Profits are a choice. That's it. It's a choice. So they may try and say, okay, we're gonna find out where you are right now, and we're going to say, here's a cap as to how much you can use for operational costs. But that probably won't fly because it makes no sense because costs vary. So for Alex, let's say he makes $3 million this year. I was probably way more a while ago. Let's just pick a number. Let's say $10 million. Okay, fine. They say, okay, you made $10 million. Up, 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 up. That is revenue, not profit. Alex can then take, let's say it costs him $3 million to run the business. He can then spend $7 million on advertisements all over the country, and that is an operational cost. He can just choose to dump it into things. He can buy more machines. He can build a bigger warehouse. He can build a bigger studio and just keep spending the money. They will never see a penny.
Yeah, this looks right. This is a political judgment. It's not a legal precedent that's set. It's going to get overturned. You know, Alex Jones will continue to be able to operate in Texas. So, I think that probably everybody benefits from this in the end. Because when it does go to the Supreme Court and they do uphold the Brandenburg precedent, people like you and I are going to be benefiting from
that. We're going to get the Alex Jones precedent. Mm. And then we're going to be like, did you see that court case between, you know, Ethan Klein and Ben Shapiro? Well, under the Alex Jones precedent, they're going to have to...
They're going
to
hate that so much.
They're like, you got to keep bringing up the man's name that we banned everywhere on social media?
No. In Jones v... So this is what happened in Mississippi with the abortion ban. It was, what, 11 weeks or something? Then the left sued to stop it, and it resulted in Roe v. Wade getting overturned. They could have just said, hey, let's not launch any lawsuits until we get control of the Supreme Court to keep this level, but they decided we're going to go at this and try and fight it. Mm-hmm. Makes it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court says, nope, Roe v. Wade gone.
Yeah, see, this is why I don't take the black pill, man. I am so on the white pill train because over the long course of history, liberty has advanced. If you look at things on a long enough timeline, sure, have we lost some short-term victories? Sure, but the libertarians have slowly gotten the big wins. Roe v. Wade was a big one. That was enormous. That happened the first time I was on the show last time.
And the anarchists and the people who want to be left alone, we would see things a little bit differently. But you do make a very good point, because especially when it comes to states' rights, especially when it comes to gun rights, we have seen it grow in a way that the federal government has been having a hard time trying to, of course, stop. You look at states where people could conceal carry, they're becoming more and more abundant by the day. That's a huge, major victory. And I think when we look at, you know, the decentralization of power, there's a lot of optimism, there's a lot of hope, but also at the same time, I think we're seeing the system panic and kind of get angry and lash out. And I think this is one of the ways that they're lashing out in these kind of particular court cases. But at the end of the day, we're talking about Alex Jones, someone that, of course, is banned on social media. And if anything, this is only going to make him more notable. This is only going to make more people know about him because more people are talking about him now.
So he was a famous guy, but they've turned him into an iconic historical figure.
Literally.
That's the craziest thing about it.
A martyr.
Yeah.
But I mean more than that. Alex Jones, for a while, was just a personality. He was a guy who talked, and he had fans. If they left him alone, he would have ended up in the historical record as a guy who said stuff online. Now they've turned him into an extremely consequential political and legal figure with everything they've gone after. Now, throughout history, there's going to be precedent historical records talking about the conflict, the crisis, the politics, all of that stuff. Just simply put, he used to be influential, now he's consequential.
Is that a song lyric?
Well, the left
didn't write that down.
Yeah, the left didn't read their Nietzsche. They stared too long into the abyss, they fought they fought dragons, and then they became the enemy. They became exactly what they were fighting against. Yeah. You know who else is, you know, red pilling a lot of people, and another big victory for free speech and freedom is Corey DeAngelis's crusade for school choice in Arizona.
Winning.
Yes, he's winning. Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, the governor's race. I mean, what a blessing that has been. But I honestly think that the school choice issue and the freedom of choice in education is the freedom issue of our time. Mm-hmm. The pandemic red-pilled a lot of people, but there's nothing like telling parents that they shouldn't have anything to do with their kids' education.
That's
to get
crazy.
People to show up to their town.
That on top of a new record number of homeschoolers also throughout the last few years has been growing very significantly, especially after COVID, when a lot of people were able to actually see what's happening in their curriculum, what's happening in their schools, and be shocked by the utter craziness that's being taught to students. And it's not really teaching students or teaching kids anything. It's really indoctrinating them into the current system. A lot of people are sick of it. A lot of people are saying, you know what? I'm just going to teach my own kids the important things that I want to teach them.
And what I love, too, is seeing all of the former liberals coming along to our side, right? And like how the trans issue has turned so many of the LGBT or the LGBT, well, the LGBT community. We get, you know, Blair White and so many other transgender people, Sarah Higdon and others, who are coming along to our side have been red-pilled because of the extremism of the progressive values. The progressives are out there attacking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in her town hall. She's already been pushed to the side.
And you see she's like dancing and sticks her tongue out. Yeah. Like,
did she vote for funding for Ukraine for weapons and aid?
Yeah.
It was unanimous.
Yep.
Thanks for checking out this segment from the TimCast IRL podcast. But if you want to check out the full show live, tune in Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. And if you want more special access content, head over to Tim.
All right, I'm going
to
cut that. So, anyway.
Wow. That was really good.
Anyway, I just don't feel confident that they're going to get $2.75 trillion.
Yeah, you know what? That is a great point, that he can file bankruptcy.
Well, he's already in Chapter 5, so. But the thing is that the court refused to let him show his bankruptcy documents, and he was not allowed to say that he's under bankruptcy.
That is so frustrating.
Yeah, the court told him and his attorney the only thing that they're allowed to say is yes, no, and I don't know.
Mm. Well,
day of questioning because there was no point in him sitting there and pleading the fifth.
Right. I would really hope to see that get tossed out. That's an obvious miscarriage of justice. Anytime somebody does not have the freedom of speech, that should be the most, you know, that has been... Of all the rights granted to us by the Constitution, free speech has been the one under attack the most. And if he doesn't have the freedom to defend himself in court, what's the point of going to court? We might as well be in like a third world country. You know, I'm tired of it. And, you know, he's here in Texas. So, but he's being sued in Connecticut. So, very frustrating.
Bianchi wants to join us. I have one more clip I want to get into here before I bring him in. I also just want to preface this. I'm not going to go into it heavily right this second. But the Democrats today finally are asking for Brandon to not go nuclear against Russia. So they decided that maybe they do need some anti-war votes and to not go nuclear on Russia.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because they think they have an election to win, but I don't know. So I want to get your opinion of this Stacey Abrams piece, where Stacey Abrams, and you have a liberal media pundit trying to help her, and she's not understanding it, and she doubles down and says that the reason why all the prices are up in the world is because we need more abortions.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So it's a minute and a half. Well, look at it, then I'll bring Bianchi in after you give some commentary.
Okay.
Just asked you. You're running for governor of Georgia. I would assume maybe incorrectly, but while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so these are, it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out, but we also have to talk about what a governor can do. A governor can address housing prices. A governor can address the cost of education. A governor can put money into the pockets of everyday hardworking Georgians instead of giving tax cuts to the wealthy. That's what I talk about on the trail, and that's what's resonating. But let's not pretend that women, half the population, especially those of childbearing age, they understand that having a child is absolutely an economic issue. It is only politicians who see it as simply another cultural conversation. It is a real biological and economic imperative conversation that women need to have.
Ms. Abrams, this is Eddie Glaude. First of all, congratulations. We're both going to be celebrating.
So he's trying to help her by telling her that roughly 3% of Democrats, even 3% of Democrats, think abortion's the biggest issue of 2022.
Well,
and,
right now
he's doubling down.
People are struggling. People are struggling. You know, places have been
right, and the time is not to wag your finger and say, "Well, it's your fault. You had a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old."
Right. You know,
and that's what is causing this grand awakening is that while people think it's good to go through with these policies, when you come in as the authoritarian and trying to tell people that you're the supreme human being because you believe a certain thing that not everybody does on everything, you can't be the world's know-it-all and just expect everybody to say, "Yes, I'm stupid."
Right. Well, you know, it's such a heavy topic. It's because it's so multifaceted. And no, I don't think it is it can't be the biggest factor. But you know, there are some women that look at their life, see their horrific financial situation, and know that even being pregnant would be difficult for them to sustain a job. So, you know, my heart bleeds for the ones that are the most affected by this, the ones that are in poverty. I've never met anyone that's regretted giving birth, that had considered abortion but chose against it. I've never met anybody that considered it. I mean, that's ever regretted it. Sorry. I'm tired of looking up a little. But wow. That's kind of a big deal. You know, the more impoverished population are the ones that affect the most, because they're the ones affected by not having the food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, not having jobs. Yeah. So, the ones with means could fly out of state if that's what they chose to do.
All right, so let's bring Bianchi in here. I know he's been waiting patiently here. Welcome in, sir.
Well, whatever the situation that you're in, there's a reason, and that reason does not go back 400 years. when you look at, for instance, in the inner cities where you have these problems, well, just look at the education that goes on there.
Absolutely.
If your young people are not being educated, where they're not being prepared to stand up to the rigors of higher education, when they're not afforded to the parents the option to put the child where they see is best for the child, even parents that come from poor conditions, they do run functional households, and they do prepare their children. When their children go to school, they know how to pronounce their ABCs. They know their time tables sum up. They know their mother and father's real names and not nicknames. But why are they made to keep their kids amongst a bunch of other kids who don't come from those types of backgrounds? And you just cannot teach that mixture and get a positive result. So education has a lot to do, and the type of education that we see going on, has been going on, has a lot to do with the problem of inequity and not being prepared. And until that stops, that's why I voted for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a school choice. Poor parents need to have the ability to put their child. And you know, I'll tell you something else, too. When parents start pulling their kids out of the government system, that's going to deal a death blow to the Democrats, because their teachers' union is going to start falling apart. No longer will they have the money to buy off politicians like they have been done for ages.
No, did I lose you, or did I get hung up on?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. I just didn't hear anything for a minute. I was afraid that I got hung up on.
And you know another thing, too. Trump is going to be subpoenaed.
Yeah.
So I wish his team would ask the other side, give us the questions that you want us to address. You can't go into those environments with your hands down, because they can say that you did not cooperate. You didn't bring what you should have brought. Well, what is it that you want? That should be given ahead of time. And a lot of the stuff they want is in the public archives there anyway, in the Library of Congress. Don't they have researchers? But no, you never go into one of those dispositions wondering what the other side is going to ask you. Make them give you a list of what it is that they want. And then you can check off the list that you can't provide this, and you can check off on the list, I have provided this. I pass the mic.
All right. I don't have any. I don't have any funny comebacks or anything on that. I don't know what to say about these liberals anymore that I can't say any. There's nothing different I can really say, except that in 2 weeks, I have confidence that a lot of these liberals are going to be out. I just don't think that we as humanity just yet are willing to permanently go down this road. I think it's time for us to stop the bleeding. And I just think that liberalism went so far, so fast, unrelenting, that it's going backwards for them. They thought that they could strike while they can, and they can do all this. And I think that they got greedy.
Well, they come from all different angles. It lets you know all these different asinine topics that's being discussed, being had, all these pursuits coming from all over the place, from reparations to defund the police, to get rid of the police, to all these different pursuits
I have another one I want to bring up, Bianchi, if I can entertain you for a second here. So,
yes, sir.
I know that you're not the world's biggest sports fan, but I think you know enough, and I think even Leslie might know enough here. This is how wokeism is going. If you read who won the 1983 Super Bowl, it says the Washington Commanders won the Super Bowl in 1983. It says the Cleveland Guardians last won the World Series in 1948, and Cleveland Guardians pitcher Bob Feller was the star of the team. Do you know the problem with those two alleged new facts?
Yeah, there was no damn Cleveland Guardians then. The Cleveland Indians. And it was the Washington Redskins. You got to be kidding me. Is that what it reads?
Oh, they're red. Yeah, if you look. Yeah, somebody showed me where in 1948 the Cleveland Guardians last won the World Series, and Bob Feller was the big reason why. The Cleveland Guardians just literally changed their name in 2022.
Well, they're trying to rewrite history. And if you don't say anything, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. I need to get 5,000 people and take them to a football game and just walk right on in. You don't need to pay. Just walk on in. We poor. We disadvantaged. We're coming from marginal background. So we just walk in, go to an NBA game, 5,000 of us, and sit there alongside the court in those special seats. And if somebody come in and tell you got to get up, call them a racist.
Just make sure you're wearing a scam and just wear your Black Lives Matter stuff. You'll be okay.
Wear your Black Lives Matter memorabilia. And just go right on in there and sit down. You don't need to pay for no ticket. You got people coming across the border unfettered. So why should they fetter you with having to buy a ticket? Go sit down in a chair.
You know what? I like this idea. You know what? I'd like $10,000 just for random debts I've racked up over the years. For frivolous expenses, while maybe it's not a major in mating habits of the penguins or whatever, it's a debt. Where's my money? You know.
All I know is that if he's bringing up the word fetter, then we have to talk about one of the men in the arena right now.
Okay.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
All I know is that if I came home and said, wife, our last name is now Fetterwoman, she's going to tell me to pack my suitcase and get out of here.
You've got a good wife. I think
I never would have bleed it if I didn't hear it. Man, times are really bad. And I heard a show where you had this black trans say that she wants reparations. Mm. We want reparation for black trans. I was listening. I wasn't going to call in. I said to myself, where in the hell did this come from?
Oh, and being a cisgender is like equal to being the word cisgender is considered a profanity to these people. You're not allowed to be happy. I promise you, there's not 30 seconds in a year. I doubt there's 5 seconds in a year where I think to myself, proof, you know what? I think it's time to become a woman. That is something, just like our friend Broccoli Man might say, things that will never happen for $1,000, Alex.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of things are going on. I'm sure Alex Jones will win his lawsuit, his appeal. Bannon is being locked up. Bannon is being locked up for no particular reason. Everybody that's in D.C. jail need to receive reparations.
Yeah, Steve Bannon was not in Washington, D.C. at the time and had nothing to do with any of it, but they decided to bring him in for questioning anyway. And he said no because Trump told me through his executive privilege not to show up. And he gets arrested for that. But they didn't they said that they have that this has to get appealed before they bring him in because it is questionable. Because Brandon is not allowed to intrude on Trump's executive privilege. Just like if something happened between 2009 and January 2017, Trump or Brandon cannot take away Obama's executive privilege. Anything that happened during those years, he has executive privilege on it, and it doesn't matter how much you like him and how much you like Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady or not. You could despise them, but they still have executive privilege during that time frame.
Well, Proof, let me tell you something. The chairman of the D.C. January 6th committee, Benny Thomas, he was favorable of a black separatist group called the Republic of New Africa.
Okay.
Who engaged police, I believe, in Philadelphia, and a policeman got killed. That should be hearings. Murder has no statute of limitations. That should be hearings. And call him in, subpoena him, and see what connection he had, whether he was contributing to the death of that police officer.
Well, and I'll go one step further. You know who should be on that stand as well is the person that's responsible for securing the Capitol, which is Nancy Pelosi.
Absolutely. What does she have to do? What type of influence does she have? What type of directions did she give that led to things to go and what she didn't do? Not what she, only what she done, but what she didn't do that was the cause of things going the way it was. You had two deaths there. You had the one death with the woman crawling through the window, Abbott, and you had another death off to the side where this black guard, female guard, beat this white guy to death in an incident. So Nancy Pelosi needs to be called to the table and questioned. She needs to be subpoenaed. You got to do to them the same thing that they're doing to you, except we got good reasons. A police officer that got killed in Philadelphia with a shootout with that organization. Well, Benny Thomas knew it. And he was favorable of that separatist group. Well, he needs to be called in because he may have contributed in the decision that led up to the police officer getting killed.
Well, they don't want to hear that, though.
Well, we got to make them hear it. Just think, hell, they want to bring that lady, Miss Bryant, to trial over Emmett Till's murder. Now, I wasn't living back in the days. At least I wasn't there at that. But, heck, that happened how long ago? 80 years, 50 years ago or something like that?
Hey, you know what? You just reminded me, Bianchi. What about that shooting today in St. Louis at the school?
Yeah, you already got some people talking about more gun laws. and some individual that came back to school. I think he graduated a year ago. He was 20 years old.
Right.
And see, you got people walking the streets.
He's not going to stay in the news that long. You know why?
Well, yeah, the black shooter.
Exactly.
And you got them walking around doing the same thing for a different purpose as Kyle Rittenhouse. Where's the outcry? And I would say some come from another state, Illinois. Walk right across the Eads Bridge or the Martin Luther King Bridge, right into St. Louis, or drive across.
Well,
they have the same rhetoric.
And if you ever look at any debate or any discussion, every single Democrat has the same speech. It's like George Soros wrote it for them. Like, the Republican is going to have an end to all abortions for any reason, so vote for Democrats.
I give you another one that's recently had. You had this white high school football star in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
in the same county that the Aubrey trial went on. He was killed by two young black men on the parking lot. So where's the hate crime charges being leveled against them?
No, they don't want to hear that.
Him and his girlfriend, she was with him, and they're going to kill this man. You had the same thing. You had a young white basketball player playing basketball on a school near LeBron James-sponsored school. He was kicked to death by two or three black males on the court. Where is the hate crime charges?
Yeah, they don't want to hear that.
Don't hear nothing about it, do you?
No.
So people got to start raising these questions and throwing it back at these leftists, these extreme leftists. They're highly corrupt. And then you got a news media just as worse. They inflame everything. Black this against white that, white this against black that. That's the way they write up the story.
Well, yeah, because they could sell their hate. You can't sell hate otherwise.
And then Brandon's
no
going to say that.
Would watch fake news.
Yeah, the reason why don't we... Our gasoline is so high because Russia invaded the Ukraine.
Yeah, right. Never mind that they shut down all the production. Nobody wants to hear that.
You just get sick of it. Ted Cruz go on The View and gets into a discussion out of control with Whoopi Goldberg and her cohorts. I don't even know why you went on there.
I don't know either.
Hey,
and the audience was chanting curse words at him before he even started.
Oh, absolutely. If you got contenders, Democratic contenders that won't debate a Republican, then why did you go on those shows? Let them call for you all the time. Make them pay you $10 million to come on there. Don't be going on there for nothing. They're going to insult you.
If somebody wants to go on there, I'm not mad at them. But you know what you're getting into, and Ted's a big enough man. He can take it. But
yeah,
I wouldn't.
It's a waste of time. Hell, look at the way he was treated in the restaurant, being attacked. Him and his wife can't even have a Well, why come Maxine Waters is not made to come testify in front of a committee to see what she had to do with inspiring that type of behavior, where she said, get up in their face, make them uncomfortable.
Yes.
That sounds like a conspiratorial move to me. So bring these people in, depose them, find out how much they're worth, make them list all their assets, their bank accounts and everything else. Then let's start questioning them. Don't tell them pre-ahead of what you want to ask them. Get them in there and start asking them questions and get them caught up in the trap, just like they try to do. Just, you got to play the game dirty. Don't play it clean. Play it dirty. No compromise. There's no need sitting down at the table, because when you sit down at the table and start talking, you usually get up with less than what you had when you first sat down. Well, that's my opinion. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back to your show.
All right.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later.
Glad to have you on.
Okay, Leslie. I hope you were taking notes.
All right. So, anyway... we have not played the Broccoli Man from today, so I would like to handle that before
it
gets
too late. I saw in the thread our Freedomizer family thread, our little thread.
Okay.
I saw that it had some good reviews.
Yes. Well, I want to play this Rumble ad first, though, because I uploaded this today.
Hello, everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night, I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day, I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on Rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On Rumble.com.
Okay, so hopefully he got his message across.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
No, I got to get people to like and share and follow. So if people subscribe, then they'll know when a new episode comes up. All right. So do you have this week's episode, or do you need me to grab it for you?
I can pull it up right now.
Let me
see if it's going to go. All right. Cool. Cool deal.
All right. So that means count it down then.
Well, I can skip this ad.
Okay.
Okay. Let me know, and I'll close ad when we go. When we do this.
All right. So I'll count down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
I am so tired of these boosters, B. I had 3 heart attacks after my 60th booster player. My pair at 1 and 2 said this is my last semester at Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology if I have to get another gene therapy.
Hey, Jamata. I told you how to handle it. You call them racists and then tell them to get out of the clan. When you tell them, you will tell everyone they are in the clan, they will apologize and they will get a gene therapy with you.
My parent 1 and I went to 2 MC GMO yesterday. I noticed my parent 1 was not wearing a scan while waiting for his GMO Mac. I cursed him out something proper for not wearing a scam at the table. I made something ducker go back up to the car and bring a two scams to her while sitting and waiting for our food. He put it on for about 45 seconds and then her food came. Who knows how sick my parent one would have been if they did not put the two scams on right before getting our girl happy meals.
I went to Whole Paycheck last night. They do not have any bugs for us to eat. It is a shame they're not listening to Klaus Schwab yet and just selling bugs. We need to be perfect globalists and be either one gender and one world government. Then we can save the Earth.
I promise once we can start eating the bugs, I will only eat the bugs. I will also own the nothing. Globalists know how 99% of us live better than we do. They know what it is like to be poor. That is why them fools are rich.
I don't know, B. I do not want Earth's temperature going up 0.4 degrees and then down 0.4 degrees by 2100. But I'm not interested in eating maggot for food. I still like my winner chicken dinner and my GMO bell.
You need to wake up and smell your armpits, Jim Arthur. If you do not eat bugs, then this climate will be permanently ruined.
There be too many peoples on Earth. We need to do what Klaus Schwab and G. Lobelis say. After we finish college at SHIT, we should purchase Lysnick's suicide pod. I'm thinking about getting the gray casket.
All I know is that I can never vote for Brandon or Governor Shehitzik. I cannot take any more of these gene therapies. I am also now trying to get drafted into a nuclear war.
You're just something, Dr. Jamar. Having a nuclear war would be great for the planet. It means half the world population would be gone. Just think about how great the climate would be if less people were on Earth. Then when I am dead, I could make an apology for my whiteness and ask to come back to Earth as someone black.
I just don't want to fight in a war, B. I just want to be a reporter and tell other people they have to fight in a war.
I would rather have a nuclear war than see another one of Trump's mean tweets. At least we won't have to see any more social media posts that Trump says. Him bees is a stupid.
I agree. Trump's mean tweets is far worse than any nuclear bombs Russia could drop on us. And January 6th was the worst attack on America in world history. Even George Strauss said so.
I know. It's that Green Jones again. That is a something ducker for real.
I bet he still has not figured out how men can get pregnant yet. He is probably too stupid to know it might snow around Thanksgiving time because of climate change.
I wonder what racist hush he will say today.
I remember that one time my parents took us to Disney World for 4th of July. There was a bad blizzard, so Disneyland was closed. So they took us to Epcot Center. Instead, Dot, we need to stop climate change so that never happens again.
Yeah. No. I'll take things that never happened, Alex, for $1,000.
You're a Republican for not believing in climate change. How can you not understand that it's colder around Halloween time than it is on the 4th of July? Us educated peoples know that the climate changes.
You does. That is called weather. There has exactly been zero cases of there being a blizzard on the 4th of July in Florida.
You're a liar. I was there. It can rain every day at any time. Just like it can snow any day, any time. Brandon made it legal. You Trump supporters and dumb Republicans do not understand that Brandon legalized that it can snow whenever it wants.
You are so stupid, I can't believe it. How do you not know there is climate change? You watch too much conspiracy theories.
You are such a noob not because you do not understand that my birthing partner, she can get me pregnant. You're also against my birthing partner for diddling children.
Hey, B. You called Malik the wrong pronoun again.
Oh, dear.
And I hate white peoples like you so much. I am finna tell Malik you underscore there, she.
No, please don't. I'm so sorry. I will do another drag queen story time with Malik and I will do all kinds of stuff you need me to do. I do not want my birthing partner stabbing me in my ballsack again.
Diddling children is wrong. We need to stop sexualizing and grooming children.
Just for that, I'm suing you for $2.75 trillion. Just like how Alex Jones was sued for $2.75 trillion. You something duckers need to know you cannot offend people for being a minor attracted person.
Hey player, it is illegal to engage in coitus with anyone under age 18.
I knew you are turning Republican. You bees is too racist for me, Jim.
How is that racist, sugar? It is illegal to diddle kids. They are not old enough to consent to it.
The person doing the diddling consented, though. That is the most important.
That's not how it works, B.
I am so glad the schools have pornography for children under 18.
My neighbors have a child in kindergarten. Their class last week made all the kids pull down their pants and play with their junk. They got graded on it and everything. They got a B. The teacher said they did not do it like they meant it.
I am so glad we have a Democrat governor like Governor Shedzek. He is so liberal and is into these things.
He even said after the election he will put Republicans in FEMA camps, even though FEMA camps totally do not exist.
How is it that you are a liberal then? Liberals are so supposed to be about peace. Instead you are about putting most of the world in concentration camps, killing people, and nuclear war? How is that peace and love?
It is all about peace and love. We will be peaceful and love everyone who is not white, not cisgendered, and who agrees with us. If you do not totally agree with me, or you bees of the wrong skin color, we want you dead.
This is why we cannot let liberalism run this country. Please be against war. Be all about peace and love with all humans. Not just the ones that co-sign what you say all the time. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to freedomizerradio.com and listen live. He has great guests, excellent co-hosts, and lots of real news you need to hear. Freedomizerradio.com for the Proof Negative radio show.
I only listen to FNN. They have the best fake news for all us liberals to be told what to believe. I am a clean slate every day and just wait for my talking points so I know what to believe. I so wish I knew which restroom I should use or how angry I should be when someone says something. But whatever they want us to do, I do it. I am a great globalist that stands with the current thing. Believe that.
All right, so that's an episode.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. That is just so... I like how Broccoli Man just kind of swaggers up. Slow swagger, like, what's up? Oh, is this not chill?
So Mike was on point today, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love that.
It can snow whenever it wants. Brandon legalized it.
Well, that sounds about right. Oh, man. That's so good.
I don't
good.
Know if anyone will get the... there was a blizzard at Disney World on the 4th of July, so Disney was closed. We went to Epcot instead. Like you don't know that Epcot was literally right next door.
Right, I know. That was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. That was so good. That's a good episode. Oh, man. Yeah, I like that blizzard on the 4th of July, Florida.
That's because of climate change.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, liberals are a new talking point, and I'm not even kidding, is that in many parts of the United States, it snows in December because of climate change. like people just woke up and thought that it would be snowing on the 4th of July in Dallas or something, or maybe in Tucson on June 15th it'll snow in Tucson.
Yeah, that's Yeah.
I don't have much of a response for that.
That was a really, really it's a good episode.
All right. Well, I'm glad you approve.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Oh, hey, yeah, I guess so. Early voting is happening in Dallas County right now.
Okay.
All right. Random, but there you go. That's
well, I
a
wasn't
good
ready for that just yet.
All right. Well, we have a I have a Dan Bongino clip I want to play. It's 3 minutes.
Okay.
It's a brand new poll.
And I'm telling you right now, man, I love this country. I am long in the United States. There is not – we are about to turn a corner. I am sure of it. Why? Because despite the left's attempts to censor, silence, and use thuggery to intimidate us, quiet us, beach ball underwater, push us underwater – I got a question about that later, by the way – and crush us, it is not working. Matter of fact, not only is it not working, the attempt to silence us on the vaccine, on political censorship, on the current threat to democracy, liberals present, on the media, liberals are present. It's backfiring completely, completely. This article's in the newsletter. Please spread it around. David Strom, Hot Air. 59% of voters think the mainstream media is, quote, a major threat to democracy, according to a New York Times poll. Here, it gets even worse.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
So 6 out of 10 people, despite the media lying to you every day and trying to silence conservatives, trying to silence the questions about elections, trying to silence the science, despite the media trying to crush us, it is 6 out of 10 people who think the media is the threat to democracy, which is absolutely true, by the way. But it gets worse. It gets worse. How could it get worse than 6 out of 10 people believing the media is a major threat to democracy? How about this? Fully 84% of registered voters name the mainstream media as a threat to democracy. A threat. You're talking about over 8 in 10 people who, despite the media's attempts to categorize us as a threat to democracy, they see them for who they are and have in turn categorized them as the threat. 8 in 10. More than 8 in 10. This is great. It gets better. This is among voters who think democracy is under threat at all, which amounts to 71% of people in the poll. If people don't think democracy is under threat, they were not asked this question. No other issue or group even comes close to being seen as this great a threat to the union and the media. Yeah, by the way, I totally missed that. That's such a good point. Did you catch a joke? He goes, I love it even more. It's a New York Times poll.
That's a good
media.
Point.
That is a good point. Folks, we are winning. Chest out, chin up. Keep fighting. Tough times ahead, no doubt. But tough times make tough men, and tough men make good times. You've heard it before. No need to panic. Listen to Rush. He's been doing this a lot longer than I have. Don't believe me, that's fine. If you don't believe me, it's okay. Believe him. 30 years of experience. God rest his soul. Media had one job, to give us the facts. And they completely blew it. And people have entirely disavowed these idiots. And it is freaking glorious to see. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch.
Here I am back in January of last year. I just couldn't keep the weight off no matter how many different exercise programs I tried. Now I'm down to my ideal weight, and it's never been easier. All I had to do was vote blue, no matter who. Every time I went to the grocery store, I was with so many different options to choose from. But now I'm lucky if I can even fill my bathtub. I used to be really unhealthy, never got that much exercise. But now that I can't afford to put gas in my car, I have to walk to work. And as an added bonus, I don't have to worry about being carjacked anymore. You can ditch Tybo and start saying Ty Joe.
Come on, man.
All right, I just wanted to play that. But as far as what Dan Bongino was saying, that I think that they... going back to what we were talking about earlier, the Democrats overplayed their hand. And once they become the authoritarians, and I think what really pushed it is when they started doing the banning and the fact-checking. When you're getting fact-checked for something completely stupid. And they're going back years ago. Like, they could pull a post from 2015 when you said that you don't know whether you want a boy or a girl, and that could get fact-checked for because you only believed at the time there was two genders, and now there's 3,812. I didn't lose you, did I?
No, I'm still here.
All right. I was trying to give you some time for some commentary.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm here, but...
Well, I'm not trying to get in the habit of leaving early every day either, though.
No, I don't want to go early, and I'm doing my best to be in the present.
All right, well, I have a 17-second Ron DeSantis clip from today I want to play.
Ooh, okay, awesome.
Governor, it's your turn. Well, listen, I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
I think we'll be using that one for a while.
I think he's got more power as governor of Florida than he would as the president.
Yeah, but it's his job if he wants it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's his job if he wants it. Because right now... You know, our country is really in a state of political flux. Here we go. The left's gone too far, and the right is just kind of...
wimpy?
You know, it's the right is just... you know, it's the party of reason. And...
It's not all the party of reason. There's a faction. There's the Republicans like Mitch McConnell that long for the good old days where he could just be a Democrat. And then you have the Marjorie Taylor Greene types and the Matt Gaetz and the Rand Paul. And that is the new future for Republicans. Mitch McConnell's not the future.
No. I love Rand Paul.
Dan Crenshaw is not the future.
I love Rand Paul, though. Ooh.
Oh, I agree.
He is, I absolutely loved him when he was calling out Anthony Fauci for gain of function. Absolutely loved him. I think he's wonderful. He's insightful. I like him. I'd like to see him run.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if the elections were held today, he's running in third place. And it's not close. It's not even close enough to the point where he would consider it. He realistically, no. Between Trump and DeSantis, Rand Paul is polling third at like 1.5%.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it's not worth it right now.
Yeah, you know what he's doing is he's called here for
you. Be a vice president, he would be great at being a vice president. But
well,
president right now, that's not him.
He's doing a great job where he's at, though.
Oh,
and he
I
may
agree.
Be able to. I think he's able to have more influence and do a better job where he's at. I
possibly.
Yeah. You know, you get somebody in the right position, and they can make all the change, you know. DeSantis sticking around in Florida, it keeps Florida competitive in the job market. They didn't shut down for more than 2 weeks. They stayed open. And, okay. You know, there's a lot of places that are struggling because they were forced to shut down and close. A lot of businesses didn't survive. You know, there's a lot of marriages that are even, you know, broken apart because of the division caused during you know, the stay-in-place orders, you know, the lockdown. But, you know, he kept his economy good, and he's keeping Florida relevant. You know, he makes Abbott look like a rhino. Abbott kind of is a rhino, but he's just old, and we do need something more exciting for the Republican Party, hopefully in 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, DeSantis is doing a really good job protecting Florida. And the Floridians...
Yeah, my
really
only thought of that was that if there's more states that are coming forward, like a great example would be Kerry Lake in Arizona. And if there's more states that are going that direction, and I'm sure that someone out there in Florida or that Ron DeSantis has their eye on, that could be a governor.
Yeah. Wow. Looking her up.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hot right now as far as, like, the future of the Republican Party. It's almost like after Ron DeSantis, it's her.
I like that. That's a video. Wow.
Yeah, she's not messing around. And then look at Oregon and New York State. Those two, the Republican governors are in the lead right now. In New York and Oregon, who would have ever thought that?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So I'm just going to repeat it, that if you think you're a Democrat, give them some tough love and make them starve this time. And maybe they'll try to find some candidates that are more reasonable, because what they're throwing at you right now is some nails for the coffins. They're not throwing you any hope. They're throwing you death. So give them some tough love. Lock them out this election. That will force them to find better candidates.
I'm looking at the Oregon gubernatorial election right now.
Yeah.
I don't know the person's
name, but they were up by like 1 or 2 points a few days ago. But that governor really destroyed that state so badly. And the people of Portland are just tired of having their city beat down by Antifa thugs and Black Lives Matter. So they want change. And it's no longer enough to say, vote for me, I support Black Lives Matter. That's not enough. That's not going to cut it anymore. And you have Lee Zeldin in New York that promises to end the no cash bail, meaning that the police will have to arrest people again. People want that. Why is it that you're protecting the criminals? Someone kills three people, and you're like, I don't want to arrest them. I'll just give them a ticket, and they can show up to court in 4 months. Who benefits? I just can't comprehend that you're going to stand up for criminals' rights. What about the three domes that the guy just lopped off?
Right.
What, it's survival of the fittest, and they weren't packing, so therefore they have a right to die?
Right.
But you'll arrest a 5-year-old for not wearing a scam to a birthday party. I That's what people are tired of.
Yeah.
And that John Fetterwoman about a month ago had like a 10-point lead on Dr. Oz. And Dr. Oz might be the worst Senate candidate in the United States, but now he's leading by 5 or 6 because people don't want these woke policies.
Right.
And Dr. Oz sucks ass. Yeah, here in Nevada, between Shitsack and Squishy Joe, the sheriff, it's basically 50-50. So we have a Democrat who does everything California wants versus a extremely weak Republican who might be about as weak as Mitch McConnell. And I'm going to take my chances with the squish, I guess, because I'm not going to not vote, and I'm not voting for Shitsack. So if it slows the bleeding down, and then knowing on day one we have to find another candidate to replace him, that sucks, but that's the choice. And believe me, I'm not happy about the choice. I don't want to vote for this clown.
Right. Right.
Now, there is a libertarian candidate, but they don't even have 100 followers on Facebook. So why am I going to invest
right.
my vote in that? They're not.
Right.
If they don't have an interest in having the job, I'm not going to vote for them. I shouldn't have more of an interest than the person running.
Right. Right.
If you're not even polling at 1% and I haven't seen you, I'm looking for your platform. I'm looking for where you're going to speak at. I see crickets. And I'm not just going to throw my vote away like that. If you had some game, you're out there putting your name out there and you're getting 5, 6% of the vote, I might throw you a vote. But you're polling at 0.5% and have had no tour stops or anything like that where we can meet you, and you're not credible on social media, well, why am I going to invest myself right now?
Right, right.
It's like they had every opportunity to sell me on their vote, and they couldn't do it. And I hate voting for the lesser of evils. I want to find somebody I could put my vote in. But unfortunately, that's not available right now.
I understand. I completely understand.
At least Governor Abbott isn't that bad. I'm not saying he's great or even good. He's passable.
Yeah, I mean, he's passable. He'll be okay for another 2 years. I'd really like him to step down. Because
I understand.
He's going to keep winning elections until one day he doesn't. And if he doesn't bail out, you know, he could bail out after this term. And no, he's done his best. He's got his special interest money. You know, he's got his money from the private prison sector. He's got his, you know, he's got all his money from being governor for so long.
Yeah.
He should go and make room for the new wave of, you know, for the newer Republicans.
Well, maybe this is his last election, so you'll vote for somebody else in 2026.
Well, I mean, he's okay. He's passable.
Yeah, but you know there's 30 other states that would love to have him as their governor.
Okay. He can go there.
But what are you left with, Robert Francis?
Oh, hell no. But you know what's going to happen is people are going to get tired of voting for Abbott. And
my honest opinion, I think this is his last election, and I'm happy. I'm kind of in a sense happy that at least people like they think he's passable, and they're not. Oh, he sucks. I'm voting for Robert Francis. At least this election, he serves a purpose.
This may be my first time to ever vote for him.
And I understand he's not the greatest. He might get a C-, but if you had somebody that was unknown, at least Robert Francis gets his name in the papers, even for the wrong reasons. But you have a proven quantity, albeit he's not your favorite. I understand, but I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, I'm really, really excited about where this could go. You know, that really opens up. A friend of mine was working on the Don Huffines campaign. Well, you know, he was going to challenge, he was challenging Abbott, and he, of course, didn't do it. You know, of course, he didn't get the vote. It was nice to see that he was at least being challenged. I'd like to see who we have in Texas that could be a good leader, that could really show some, you know, I have issues. Abbott took a long time to make the businesses stop implementing the mandatory orders.
Right.
He took too long. I'm not good with that.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing.
You know? Let me see. Here's a poll. Texas midterm election. Texas governor poll, Governor Abbott extending his lead over Beto O'Rourke as election day approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Beto's down by about 6-10 points.
That's it? You could double that.
Hmm.
And I still wouldn't believe double. I would think triple. I'm thinking that it's like 65-30, to be honest.
In 2020, close to 90% of Texans voted early. Okay.
Yeah.
I might vote early. I don't know. Kind of a big deal.
Well, it's especially, I don't know which is more important, the governor or the Congress and Senate. Because if there's another lockdown, you're reliant on who your governor is.
So true. So true. And, you know, Abbott really... He could be better. Let's just say that. He's okay. He could be better. He has room for improvement, but he's been in so long. I don't think he's going to really try to improve.
No, you're not going to learn anything. You got who you got.
Yeah, he's like an elderly dog. He's definitely not going to learn new tricks.
No. But I guess that the other sense of it, you know, he's not going to go woke either. He's just going to stay the course.
Yeah, that's so true. Slow and steady, I guess, wins the race. He's not going to surprise anyone. We know what he's going to do. And that's good because we're not entirely sure what the other side, what hit and run Beto would do. You know, he wants to take your gun, or at least AR-15. And you know what? Guns don't kill people. People behind the guns do. We all know this. In all states, he wants to ban some guns.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't want him.
He also wants to make hit and runs legal.
He did for himself. Yeah.
So, if I were you, I wouldn't even think about voting for the lesser of evils, because you got what you got.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go in, and I'm going to vote for about 3, maybe 4 people. Abbott, Cruzo, and Davis.
Okay.
Kind of a mixed bag there. But I definitely want to... I guess I'm going to look into the other local votes that I can make. Really haven't been keeping up with much this season. And, you know, I've been reading about the district attorney here in Dallas County.
Ken Paxton?
Oh, no. Ken Paxton is like the state AG.
Okay.
I don't even know who's running against him. I don't think he's doing the best job. I really don't know. Not a fan of our lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick.
See, and I'm one of those people that I hate voting party politics, but when one side has just become that bad,
yeah,
you have to starve the beast, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't mind a Jimmy Carter Republican. I mean, a Jimmy Carter Democrat or a Tulsi Gabbard Democrat. I want to see more of them.
Hey, I like that. You know, hey, listen, I am solid in my Democrat vote for John Cruzo for our DA. Pretty solid.
There are some Democrats that just want to be Democrat, like a Bill Maher type or
hey,
a Tulsi
like
Gabbard. I'm okay with having some things that we're in common with and some things that we're not. I don't want a parrot.
Right.
But I want someone that is not against my entire existence.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm looking at this attorney general and the decision to rehabilitate the the, you know, some DUI offenders and some of the, you know, the drug and alcohol offenders. First time offense, you know, the rehabilitation of them, for every dollar spent in rehabilitation, it saves about $10 in Dallas County versus having them in jail. They're so, it, you know, it reduces the case log, for one thing. It helps people, understand how serious the crime is. It's just a, it's just better. You know, the it's just a better use of money. It's a better use of public funds. You know, he's got other areas where it makes a lot of sense because the return on investment is so much better. You know, I really, really, really admire him for some of his stances. Thank you, though.
Yeah, I promise. I'm never going to be that person that for the rest of my life I'm saying you've got to vote for one party.
Well, I you know, I'm looking at here comparing, you know, Dallas versus, you know, in Dallas County and all the candidates. And that's where it gets really interesting. Because even here, the liberals are not, they're more center liberals. I do know some, you know, very far out there liberals, but they won't ever get elected. Well, I say that we have like.
Well, not many of them are ready to win just yet in Texas either, though. You have some.
Yeah.
But they're not. It's not going to be something where liberals will be able to take it over.
No, no. There's not going to be another blue. There's not going to be a blue wave. You know, the in the race, Beto is running against Ted Cruz. More native Texans voted for Beto than for Ted Cruz. It was the out-of-town people. It was the transplant that kept Ted Cruz in office. So they've already won it. They've already lost this war before. They've already lost this battle. They came here because they saw what happened. Pretty sure they don't want it to happen again. But, you know, that's just my thought. You know, I've met quite a few quite a few Texan transplants, or Texan transplants, and they're pretty far to the right. They make me look like Whoopi Goldberg. And I am not.
All right. Well, I have something else I can play here.
Okay.
So Jesse Waters, he had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to talk about here.
Okay.
Let me pull this clip here.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I love the fall. We're smack dab in the middle of football season. Halloween and Thanksgiving are right around the corner. The Phillies are in the World Series, and the midterm elections are weeks away. All across the country, candidates are making their pitch to the American people. And one thing's clear. We're normal, and they're not. Even CBS News knows it. Face the Nation put on a parent panel, and a normal dad said something that CBS never would have aired just a year ago. Watch.
What are your biggest concerns about raising children in America right now, John?
the whole woke culture affecting our children. All these elementary schools and middle schools having woke culture pushed on them from the LGBT plus community for sexual identity and gender. We should be pushing the actual school studies, math, social studies, science.
And it's not just Republican parents. Democrats and independent parents agree. The child grooming needs to stop.
I can also agree with some of his points. I really, with sex education, I feel like some things, you know, are brought to the children's attention they wouldn't even think about. You can teach them one thing at home, but when they go to school, they're just as much influenced by their teachers and their surroundings. And we should have more input to parents of what we want them to learn.
I'm hearing all of you echo a lot of the same concerns and agreeing with each other. None of you are very optimistic about the country right now.
No.
So parents already have to deal with high crime and inflation, and now they have to worry about demonic teachers turning their classroom into a drag show? You'd think Biden, who's almost 80, would know better, but he doesn't. Maybe that's why they call him Creepy Joe. The president, who's already in over his head, wasted his day chatting with a transsexual activist, Dylan, in the Oval Office about why children should be getting sex changes without their parents' permission.
Mr. President, this is my 221st day of publicly transitioning.
God love it.
Do you think states should have a right to ban gender-affirming health care?
I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that. As a moral question and as a legal question. I just think it's wrong.
Biden spent more time talking with Dylan than he spent at the border. Biden won't meet Elon Musk, the guy who's making all of his electric cars, but he'll meet with Dylan. The Democrats' message going into the midterms is let's neuter your son. He's going through a phase, so cut it off. It's wrong not to. But drag shows, sex changes, and 45 pronouns are now a part of American foreign policy. Our State Department gave Ecuador $20,000 to put on drag shows. I guess you'd call that soft power. If you see men dressing up as women in Ecuador, is that going to stop you from migrating to America? Or is it going to make you migrate faster? Did they run that by the border czar, Kamala Harris? I don't think the root cause of migration is not having drag shows. Does the Biden administration even know that American students can't do math anymore? We just saw the biggest drop of all time in math scores for fourth and eighth graders across the country. The Democrats closed the schools down and told all the students they were racists who needed sex changes. I wonder why they're failing algebra. It's almost like they want our children dumb and guilty and confused. It's easier to lie to them and load them up with debt that way. The Democrats are getting killed on crime, the border, inflation, and now parents across the country are livid over the identity politics. The media knows November is going to be a bloodbath, so they're begging for other countries to interfere in our elections.
The threats to our elections in, what, 2.5 weeks are so pervasive and they're so dire and they include violence. I mean, do you think it's time to ask for friends and allies to come over and help us monitor our elections? We used to do that in other burgeoning and threatened democracies.
Mexico, drop what you're doing on November 8th. We're going to need you guys to count some ballots. Democracy's at stake. Have the cartels stand out in front of some polling places in Texas for us. They don't need some help down there. You know things are bad when Democrats are being heckled by other Democrats.
You ran as an outsider, yet you've been voting to start this war in Ukraine. You're voting to start a thermonuclear war.
I don't understand why having a border became a bad thing. When did that become a bad thing? Every country has a border.
It turns out Democrat voters aren't crazy about Democrat policies. Normal people don't love crime in tent cities and teachers telling their daughter she's a boy. Hispanics don't like being called tacos. Whites don't like being called racists for wanting safe streets. And blacks don't like being called race traitors for having an open mind.
We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump,
and you ain't black.
Democrats try to wrap your racial identity in your political identity. They try to reduce your skin pigment to your vote. So everything you do and everything you are is seen through the prism of race, and they've been doing this forever.
Black History Month you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
The American people realize they have more in common with each other than the Democrats have led them to believe. We all want the same things, no matter what we look like or what's between our legs. Safety, security, good schools, and low prices. The country is united around these issues against the Democratic Party. And it's the biggest threat the left has ever faced. Herman Munster said it best, identity politics doesn't have a place here.
The lesson I want you to learn is it doesn't matter what you look like. You can be tall or short, or fat or thin, or ugly, or handsome, like your father. You can be black or yellow or white. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is the size of your heart and the strength of your character.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox.
All right. So I think all we're doing is proving the point of liberalism is not going to be around much longer. And I think you even talked about that a while back, about how you believe that we're about to go backwards and undo some of this liberalism for now.
Yeah, actually, I think so. I think people are getting they're getting their faces rubbed in it so much that they just can't do it anymore. That they've reached that tipping point. You know, I see that for the next 2 years, where people are going to start questioning everything that the media spoon feeds them, because they were lied to so much over a virus.
I'll say this too. People got fed up when they were going to school board meetings and they're called a domestic terrorist because they're interested in their kids' education.
Right. And you know what? I think they're done. I really think they're done. And I think the time for ridiculous issues, fluff issues, like we see with, like we're seeing, I think those days are, I think we're coming into an end for those days.
Well, and you could tell because if wokeness was doing great, then Brandon would have more of an approval rating.
Right. Right, and he's got a terrible approval rating right now.
And I don't think Michael Robinson, Obama, or Governor Grossom is going to save them.
Wow.
They need find a brand new Barry Satoro who just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Approval rating right now, as of 6 hours ago, is roughly 41% approval.
Oh, it went up.
Yeah, he's gone up. I mean, he
was 28% on mainstream media.
Yeah.
So it's gone up.
Yeah. I I kind of like his quote when they ask him if he's mentally fit to be president. Did you hear that interview? And he's
when
just
he
replied,
said, "Let the American public see that what he's doing."
I
that
think
one?
So.
All right.
Looking
and
at
he looks so out of it.
Yes. You know, they must have used the real Joe that day. There's some days when Joe is not necessarily so real.
Yeah.
And you know.
All right, what else do we want to get into here? I do have something about the Great Reset here, and I have a Laura Ingraham clip, and
okay.
That's all my clips, I want to look and see what else I have.
You know what?
So the Great Reset is a...
What's that? I'll hold. What's up?
I was going to say, okay, that's fine. If it's the last clip, cool.
I got two clips. So
okay.
This one's 4 minutes. The other one's about 7 minutes, I think. No, it's four
okay.
minutes.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
So the Great Reset is a multi-pronged project. It includes an economic project that is a kind of economy that it's trying to establish, which they're calling stakeholder capitalism. And it really comes down to a kind of corporate-state hybrid on top and an effective, actually existing socialism on the ground. These corporate-state hybrid monopolists in control and individuals basically relegated to a static economic Whoa. Condition in which there's no upward mobility and so forth. That's the economic element. And then the technological element is incorporating all of the technologies of what they're calling the fourth industrial revolution. And that includes all of these digital technologies that we're talking about, digital identity, CBDCs, the metaverse is another one, the carbon footprint tracking. All of these things are then used once you have these people in place and you have the agenda rolling out, now you have the technology to actually enforce the regime that you're putting in place. And that's where the technological element comes in. So this is why you'll see Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum touting this fourth industrial revolution and writing books about it by that title, in fact, and heralding this as a great future, as a great accomplishment and a great accession to human capability, when in fact it's nothing of the sort. It'll be used by these totalitarians to enforce the kind of regime that they're attempting to establish.
Yeah, Michael, they're not hiding this either. I mean, Schwab wrote a book called The Great Reset. You know, I always get a kick out of these fact checkers. They're really opinion checkers. The book's called The Great Reset. I mean, that's not figurative. They're not hiding it. I mean, these guys are openly advertising what their goals are.
In fact, it's called COVID-19, The Great Reset. And in the book, Schwab and Terry Malaret, his co-author, they say point blank that COVID represents a great opportunity. They say this like 17 times, that it's an opportunity that must be seized to bring about the Great Reset of capitalism. And this is the capitalism that they have in mind. It's not capitalism at all. This is either corporate socialism, or you can call it economic fascism. I also call it capitalism with Chinese characteristics, as a play on the socialism with Chinese characteristics of the Chinese Communist Party's nomenclature. So this is effectively a kind of whole system, and they have, if you look at all the parts and you read the text, and read, you don't even have to read between the lines. All you have to do is reasonably project what they have in mind and what it will accomplish. And this is really what it comes down to, this kind of a feudalistic, neo-socialist, economic fascist, an economic system under which people are under total surveillance and control. And I have to say, without sounding like a loon, there's also population control issues involved. These people have been Malthusians from the outset. That is, they are very much intent on controlling population. It goes back to their history. The WEF and all their partners have been involved with population ethics, as they would call it. It really is about controlling the human population.
If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com.
All right, so there's nothing wrong about that. Their goal is to create scarcity on everything. This way they can control you.
If you Google it, whatever search engine you want to do, you can find the PDF for the Great Reset for free. And I absolutely recommend everybody read it. Alex Jones actually wrote a book going over.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have it yet?
No, I haven't purchased.
I actually got it. I watched the Alex Jones interview on the High Wire.
Okay.
And he was talking about the Alex Jones book. I think it was Dale Bigtree that was talking about The Great Reset. The book, The Great Reset by Alex Jones. I mean, it's very comprehensive. He goes over it, and it is well cited. Let me look at how many pages of citations. It is insane how many citations. Looking through this. There is twenty-two pages of citations. It's a good book. I think I'll probably when I am no longer bound by a few legal obligations, I will sit down and read it.
Leslie, our friend Vito wants to jump in.
Awesome! Hey, Vito!
How's everybody? How's everything?
Hey, glad to hear your voice. How are you doing?
All is well. I lost a friend yesterday. He was jabbed.
Mm.
He was insisting he had heart trouble. But when he went and got the facts, I said to myself, I said, "Hey, you have nobody knows how this thing works." I mean, I said to him, "I'm not a doctor. My doctor recommends I get it." Well, the doctor didn't have any science to protect whatever it is that he was gonna. The reason why he should take the vaccine. But I said to him, "I said, you're gonna be gone within 2 years. You're gonna be out." He thought I was crazy.
Oh, I am so...
He wound up... it is what it is. Life goes on. He was a good guy. Don't get me wrong. He did have heart trouble. He did have a pacemaker. But he wound up coming down with pneumonia, and that affected his heart. I mean, it's all, in my opinion, it's all tied to the COVID shot. It's just a shame. Soon everyone's going to be dropping like flies. Soon, I hear it's going to be. And see how it's going to go down. But there was, you remember Aaron Russo, right? The producer or director, whatever he was.
Yeah,
he did an interview years ago, and he was trying to be recruited into some group. And,
Freedom of Fascism? Was that his movie?
One more time?
freedom to fascism or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. But he did an interview. And he was talking about how they approached him and they wanted him to, to join them, and he refused to join them. And look at where we are now. Look at what's going on now. I mean, the thing that Bongino put out there, it's about controlling the population too, and damn straight they're looking to control the population.
Yeah.
This COVID shot is just that. It is about control. Wow. Like I said, but more the every day goes, every day that on the calendar, I'm looking back at the day before. The following day, I'm glad that I'm there. I didn't get that vaccine. And I hope that a lot more people out there that didn't, there's going to be a lot of mayhem. But what are you going to do? Yeah, this other thing with Alex Jones, they were saying that there are people that are, there's an FBI agent also looking through him that was on the case.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's just joining the bandwagon now. It's like, come on, guys. Seriously?
Everybody has to get their $2.75 trillion.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm former law enforcement. I have my issues with what happened that day. All right? They were marching the kids from one building into another. Why weren't they evacuating? I mean, those are the pictures that I saw. Why weren't they getting people as far away as they could from the scene? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's the most, the greatest mass murder event in the history of our country. And it's not even in the FBI statistics. I mean, you look at the FBI stats that year, and the town where it happened in Connecticut, Sandy Hook, they had nobody killed that year. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know why they didn't include it. There's something going on.
Yeah. Are you there, buddy? Vito, I can barely hear you.
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been kind of a struggle to hear you. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
What I was saying was with what happened in Sandy Hook, there are a lot of issues that I personally have. I mean, I'm retired law enforcement. So, I remember seeing pictures of them with the kids, marching them from one building into another. I mean, why aren't they, getting everybody out of there?
Right.
As far away as possible. And also the other thing that I had an issue with is the FBI statistics for that year. At Sandy Hook, according to the FBI, the year those killings happened, the biggest mass murder event in the history of our country, and nobody, according to the FBI, nobody got killed in Sandy Hook that year.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, I have my issues about it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but,
right.
There were some things that went on, as far as law enforcement goes, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Hmm. So any thoughts about the New York vote? It looks like Lee Zeldin is officially ahead now.
Yeah, they had him up by .085%, Bruce. It's like they won't even admit that this dude is really coming. It's like they're doing everything they can to not give him the credit. When I heard it yesterday that he's up by .085%, I'm like, how do you get 0.85% in a poll? Come on, he's up. He's up there. It's crime. That's the issue. Even Al Sharpton was on MSNBC. I was listening to Levin tonight, and he said, he said he couldn't believe Al Sharpton actually went on the air and said the Democrats need to address the problems that are at hand. They don't want to talk about it, but the big issue is crime. And he played the clip, and I heard him say it. This is Michael Dukakis all over again. You know, and that's how he lost. He never got. You know, he lost to Bush. I think it was Bush. He lost to Daddy. Because of his furlough of people that were incarcerated for murder.
But who benefits from letting out 2,000 criminals or whatever it is that they decide to let out? I don't see a victor in that.
No. Other than the Democrats shouting, listen, we freed you guys. We let you free. And you can vote, too. You know, there's more to this.
A normal Democrat, who's going to think, all right, Hochul let out 2,000 people that killed anywhere from 3 to 7 people? Nobody thinks that killing people is a positive right.
No, but in their sick minds, proof, I think that they do think that they're going to get out of boys. They're going to get pats on their backs for doing the right thing. I mean, Fetterman wants to empty out
the right thing.
It's lunacy. I mean, Fetterman wants to empty the jails in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Everything from murder to down, everyone should be let go. As one person said, I mean, you know, having a Fetterman sign on your lawn shows that you're stupid and you hate Pennsylvania.
Do you see Fetterman signs?
No, I have not seen a single Fetterman sign on. Now, I haven't gone into Milford, and Milford is a little bit a little lefty, but I have not seen a Fetterman sign. Not a single one. I've seen a couple of I see maybe 2 or 3 odd signs. But not Fetterman sign. You know, but then again, I'm not down in Philadelphia, and I'm sure that down there they love him down there. You know, it's Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. That's all he needs. All he needs. With New York State, we have, with Zeldin, I mean, I can't see him not winning. Not the way things...
No, if they're announcing that he's ahead, even if it's slight, that means it's more serious than they thought. Or that they're willing to admit.
He's up by a lot. All right? He's got to be up by a lot. All right, so with Hochul coming out, Adams, we're gonna do more stuff to fight crime on the subways. You know, you got to put them. I mean, a lot of the people that are causing these problems in the subways, for the most part, they're mentally ill people that should be in an institution somewhere. They should not be out in the streets. I mean, you give them that. If they're on their meds, they're fine. Okay, great. How do you know they're taking their meds? You know, how do we know they're taking their medicine? You know, it's crazy. And Leslie, you mentioned earlier about drug users, you know, giving them rehab instead of jail. I totally agree with you on that. I mean, but the problem is the people that are in jail on, you know, for drug offense, and I'm going to go with heroin. All right, they're feeding them while they're in jail methadone, which is a synthetic form of heroin. And when they get out, they're back out doing the heroin.
Right.
So you've done absolutely nothing. They've done absolutely nothing to rehab this person. So why?
They go to jail. If they go to jail, they become better criminals.
One of the guys I work with, his son, he's a heroin addict, and. Look, I don't understand the addiction of it. I mean, if you turn around and you say, yeah, you know, I had problems growing up as a kid, but you know what, we all did. I'm not doing hard drugs. You know, when I grew up, I smoked a pot. So what? You know, to go to the extreme. And not realize, that this is going to kill me. You know, and my friend, he's waiting. His son is, you know, went to prison. He did about 6-7 months in jail. You know, they weaned him off, and apparently he was good with methadone until they stopped the methadone. But as soon as he got out, he was on it. He went back to heroin.
Right.
You know, and he said to me, he says, I'm just waiting for that phone call. And it's sad, you know. He loves his kid. He's trying to do the right thing for his son, and the son just doesn't. It's not ready. It's not firing in their head. You gotta realize that this will kill you. There is, you know, either you stop now, and you know you will live, or you go down that road, you're gonna die. A lot of these addicts, they don't get it. I don't understand. You know, it's an addiction. I understand. I guess, you know, your body craved it or whatever, you know, but the psychological side of it, you know, or why you started using it, you know, they'll give some excuse that I wasn't treated right as a kid. I was bullied. I did this. I did that. You know, I experienced this and I experienced that. Okay, fine. But only you can make it better now. So do something about it. Don't go on the drugs. It's not gonna end well for you. But they'd rather put them in jail. And I said every resource should be out there. I've said this to people, and they think, you know, they hear that I'm a conservative. How can a conservative think like that? I said, look, you know, I don't want to see people die. You know, I don't think somebody, you know, jail should be for murderers, those who sell drugs. Those who deal drugs, they deal meth, basically. Abusers. Yeah, those are the people that should be in jail.
Yeah.
You know, but someone that has an addiction, I mean, unless he, you know, was driving stoned and he crashed and hurt somebody or killed somebody, you know, every possible resource should be made available, to that person. I mean, I was listening to Letitia. It was a thing with Letitia James today. You know, I mean, you know, she's just finding excuses for cash. I mean, this is the Attorney General, and she's trying to find. I didn't write down what she said, but in essence, she was basically saying, "All right, we put someone in jail, but what are we doing for them in jail?" I mean, I don't know about. You know, at the same time, in this country, I mean, you have, as opposed to other countries, you have a soft bed in prison. You get 3 hot meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
You get to work out. You have cable TV. You know, she said that there's no more correction. There's fewer correction officers. I mean, you know, the correction officers left because there's, you know, they left a lot of them up through attrition, and they didn't bring them back because there was nobody in jail. So you know what? Rather than spend the money on the corrections, we'll spend the money on something else. You know, waste it there rather than okay. In my opinion, I think Zeldin, when he's sworn in, all right, hopefully the assembly is not in session, and then he'll issue in my opinion, he'll issue an executive order putting bail back, and then because Hochul will not bring the assembly back to fix it. Now, he either says to them, either you fix this now, or I'm going to make sure that I'm going to let all your constituents know that all the crime in their neighborhood is your fault, because this cashless bail is ruining communities. All right? I think this is worse, in my opinion. I mean, again, this is my opinion, and I worked in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy during the crack pandemic. This is worse than that. What's going on now? There is just lawlessness going on. Nobody, people just don't give a shit. And if something's going on, you know, a lot of people are not going to get involved. Police are fighting people. You know, when they're trying to place them under arrest, they know that if you put your hand on my chest, I'm going to shout, I can't breathe. And then the cop might get locked up. And they tried that last year with the cop out in Queens. They were trying to arrest some guy who was being unruly, and they were controlling him. They were trying to do everything they got in control. It was all on video. They locked him up. They arrested him. He wound up resigning. And he went to trial, and he beat the trial. So, you know, he should have never quit, in my opinion. But, you know, then again, de Blasio was the mayor at the time, so I think they would have probably fired him anyway.
All right, last call for anything that you want to talk about here. We got, like, just over 4.5 minutes left, so I'm going to try to wind down here.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Go ahead.
Okay, Leslie, I'm good.
I really don't have anything to add to this. I've been a really interesting evening learning about the campus.
Yeah, I mean, with all these elections coming up in 2 weeks, I mean, you know, to vote Democrat, it's really, like Coop said, they don't have nobody that's young that could, they had Tulsi Gabbard as a Democrat. She would have been a good Democrat candidate, you know, but she's not to the left, as far left as they are.
Exactly.
And I think that a lot of Democrats, you know, prove, like you said, there are people that will vote for a Democrat, even if the Democrat says, you vote for me and I win, I'm going to kill you. And there were people that would still vote for that person, that politician. And, you know, but there are Democrats who, you know, like Democrats that voted for Reagan, back in the 80s. You know, they can't, you know, we can't have this. This has to stop. There's really, they really have to, you know, tell them enough. This is sheer lunacy where we are right now, where we're going. And I, like I said earlier, when I first called in, bodies are going to start dropping soon. They are going to start dropping soon, like flies. You know, and I even told one of the guys that I used to work with at my airline job, I said, listen, as many people that they have vaccinated at the airline, they're going to be calling me, they're going to be contacting, I told the guy, his name is Rich, I said, Rich, they're going to call you, they're going to call me, they're going to ask us to come back to work, because they're going to have nobody to work.
And I'm not going back to work. I'm enjoying this trucking stuff right now.
Well, you are working.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But I mean work to work for the airline. To go back to work for them. Because like I said, there's going to be, the airline that I work for, they've, you know, all the three, United, American, and Delta, they all vaccinated their employees to the max. So, you know, JetBlue did also, I believe. But, I even told my wife, I said, you know, when I told her my friend Al died, I said, you go to work, don't discuss, but she's not vaccinated. She and one other person at her job where she teaches in a private school, are not vaccinated. And I said, you walk in the room where all the teachers are, if they ever have a big, a meeting or whatever, and I'm telling you right now, just about 40% of those teachers, at a minimum, are your coworkers. And, you know, be ready for what's coming. You know, also they're starting. I was listening to Levin today. Also, they're starting to ration heating oil up in New Hampshire.
No, I heard they were going to. I didn't know if it started yet.
It started. Levin said it already started.
Yeah.
So and it's not even winter yet. So I can only imagine what's coming down, you know, down the pike once it starts getting cold up there. You know, and then they're going to be rationing off gasoline. And Levin the other day, on Friday, I believe it was Friday, he said that we have no more than 25 days of diesel fuel, you know, in the tanks in America.
Yeah, right? So in 4 weeks, if you don't get any diesel fuel, you're out.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah, if there's no fuel, I mean, and today he said, he corrected himself, it's not 25 days, it's actually 21 days.
Yeah, because that was a few days ago.
Yeah, so it's okay, now I'm seeing why he said that. Yeah, that's all they got left. And he said that number hasn't been that low since 1950.
Yeah, well, at least we're woke. So that's where we're at. So, Leslie and Vito, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you again.
I'll be back tomorrow. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the negative show here, but... until tomorrow, hold on to the handrails, keep hope alive, and hold your people and of course, ham for negative, I am moving.